Joe, before you're cleared, do you have a love for God?
Check.
Time for God?
Check.
Is your Bible open?
Check.
Do you have no distractions?
Check.
Well, Joe, we are cleared for takeoff.
Heaven, how might this be my story? Heaven, how very soon I'll be gone. Heaven, how to my mansion in glory. When you hear the trumpet sound, I'm heaven bound.
Cleared for Takeoff is a preparatory program for your faith journey. And now, here is your host, Deacon Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and our program, Clear for Takeoff. This is Deacon Joe Montone, and it's a privilege and a pleasure to be back here with you on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. This weekend's readings really are dedicated to Palm Sunday, coming up this Sunday as we are approaching Easter Sunday, Resurrection Day, focusing on the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to our first reading, but before we do, let's do our checklist as we always do. Number one, do you have time for God? Check. Is your heart open wide for God? Check. Is your Bible open? Check. And are you free of distractions? Check. And if you've answered yes to these four questions, my friends, then you and I are ready to engage in the Word of God. Let's go to our first reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. And here it is. The Lord God has given me a well-trained tongue, that I might know how to speak to the weary a word that will rouse them. Morning after morning he opens my ear that I may hear, and I have not rebelled, have not turned back. I gave my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who plucked my beard. My face I did not shield from buffets and spitting. The Lord God is my help, therefore I am not disgraced. I have set my face like flint, knowing that I shall not be put to shame. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in our first reading from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 50, verses 4 through 7, the prophet Isaiah tells us that the Lord God has given him a well-trained tongue, that he might know how to speak to the weary a word that will rouse them. It is so important, my friends, that you and I follow suit in the direction of the prophet Isaiah, to lift people up with a positive word that will rouse them, will excite them, motivate them, encourage them to go further, and to give credit for the good things that they have done. Because in our world today, my friends, we have many people who are suffering from depression, living in depression, living with a negative attitude because of wounds of the past. And so, like the prophet Isaiah, we too have been given a special gift. And we have to use that gift to speak to others with our words, with kindness, compassion, in a loving way, with humility, to lift people up, to help them to grow in their relationship with God, in family life, community service, and in all directions that are good for God. And the Word of God tells us, morning after morning, he opens my ear that I may hear. And you and I, when we are hearing well, we're listening. But when we're hearing but not listening. We're going the opposite way of the calling by God. In the book of James, it says once again, to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. And here the prophet Isaiah tells us clearly that morning after morning, day after day, my friends, God opens his ear that he may hear. And he is given that great gift to lift people up. And he's attentive to God. He doesn't ignore God. He accepts the calling and he proceeds forward. And he says this, the Lord is my help, therefore I am not disgraced. Who can you and I really depend on? Who is helping you today? Who's reliable, dependable, honest, sincere, respectable, trustworthy in your eyes? Who has been there for you in good times and in bad times? The prophet Isaiah tells us that the Lord God is his help, and he will never be disgraced. And it's powerful. And so when we look at where we put our trust each and every day, who we put our trust into, are those people coming up short? Are they letting us down? Are we putting our trust in people prematurely without measuring honesty, sincerity, respect, accountability, reliability, dependability? Are we putting our trust in people who really are not worthy of trust yet because they are human? And in the WINGS program, we measure trust one conversation at a time. But once again, the prophet Isaiah says this, the Lord is my help. He doesn't refer to anyone else. And God is helping him, giving him the words to rouse people, to lift them up. And he's teaching Isaiah how to speak to the weary, those who are depressed, those who are down, those who are out. And like a doctor, a physician in a hospital who can repair open wounds, conduct surgery, he can heal people in different ways. You and I have the ability through God to help to heal the broken hearts, the minds that are down and out, by doing exactly what Isaiah says to do, to rouse them in a positive way, to lift their spirits. It's an antidepressant to introduce them to the Word of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we come into the Holy Week, this weekend, I challenge you, my friends, to identify people who are down and out in their hearts and minds and lift them up. Take a moment to lift them up and to bring the love of God into their hearts and minds and rouse them, motivate them, educate them, inspire them, give them something special. Give them hope and vision into the future that's based on the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. I challenge you, my friends, to do it today. Let's go to our second reading from Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 to 11. And here it is, from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, coming in human likeness, and found human in appearance. He humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Because of this, God greatly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And my brothers and sisters in Christ, St. Paul brings us a great word here, a very powerful word, when he says this: Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of a slave, in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. But there are those that you and I know who want to be God, those who are dictators around the world, who are in positions of authority, who want to control people. The people that were born on this earth, delivered by the hand of God through the Holy Spirit. The people out there throughout the world, my friends, who are victims of dictators. Yes, there are those out there who want equality with God or want to be God. But Jesus himself, once again, who was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. He honors his Father in heaven. And it's powerful. And the word goes on to say, rather, he humbled himself. He had great humility and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Are you and I obedient to our Lord and our Father in heaven? Or are we arrogant, self-centered, egotistical? Are we doing what we want to do instead of what God instructs us to do? Are we being humble before God? Because the word goes on to say that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend, of those in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So we believe with our hearts and we confess with our tongue that Jesus Christ is Lord. And it requires humility. The humility that the Lord himself had in going through the life, death, and resurrection. The process of fulfilling the Father's eternal plan for salvation. The Lord had tremendous humility, and he's a role model for us. But there are those of us who truly believe that we don't need to be humble. We want to be in control. There are those of us who really value money, power, prestige greater than God and our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. So we are called to humility. We are called to show compassion, understanding, patience, love. We are called to be the sons and daughters that our Father in heaven has called us to be. And once again, the Lord Jesus Christ came down 2,000 years ago to help us to find the humility that God calls us to. And he sets that great example up on the top of the cross when he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He has enough humility to ask for forgiveness from our Father in heaven for the people who beat him, crucified him in front of our Blessed Mother Mary, who was there, who's seen it all. But once again, we need the humility, and we remember that every knee should bend at the name of Jesus. So when you go to communion this Sunday, and somebody distributes communion to you, either priest, a deacon, or extraordinary minister, and they say, the body of Christ, at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee should bend. And I encourage you, my friends, to bend your knee and to kneel down. If you're not doing it, let's go back to the way it was years and years ago, when every knee was bending at the name of Jesus. Let's raise the standard. Become more reverent. Identify ways within the church and outside the church to bring more respect and reverence to our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, who did it all for us. Let us not forget that world time is based on the resurrection of Jesus. It is the year 2023. And we have to go back 2,000 years to find the origin of that clock, of that time. And it is based on the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I encourage you, I plead with you humbly to please bend your knee and show deep respect and greater reverence when you are given the body of Christ in communion. Let's go to our gospel reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27, verses 11 to 54. And here it is. Jesus stood before the governor, Pontius Pilate, who questioned him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You say so." And when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he made no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they are testifying against you?" But he did not answer him one word, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now on the occasion of the feast, the governor was accustomed to release to the crowd one prisoner whom they wished. And at that time they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when they had assembled, Pilate said to them, "Which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus called Christ?" For he knew that it was out of envy that they had handed him over. While he was still seated on the bench, his wife sent him a message, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man. I suffered much in a dream today because of him." The chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas, but to destroy Jesus. The governor said to them in reply, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" They answered, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what should I do with Jesus called Christ?" They all said, "Let him be crucified." But he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" They only shouted the louder, "Let him be crucified." When Pilate saw that he was not succeeding at all, but that a riot was breaking out instead, he took water and washed his hands in the sight of the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. Look to it yourselves." And the whole people said in reply, "His blood be upon us and upon our children." Then he released Barabbas to them. But after he had Jesus scourged, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus inside the praetorium and gathered the whole cohort around him. They stripped off his clothes and threw a scarlet military cloak about him. Weaving a crown of thorns, they placed it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." They spat upon him and took the reed and kept striking him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the cloak, dressed him in his own clothes, and led him off to be crucified. As they were going out, they met a Cyrenian named Simon. This man they pressed him into service to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull, they gave Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he had tasted it, he refused to drink. And they had crucified him. They divided his garments by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there. And they placed over his head the written charge against him: "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Two revolutionaries were crucified with him, one on his right and the other on his left. Those passing by reviled him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, and come down from the cross." Likewise, the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him and said, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. So he is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe in him." He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he wants him. For he said, "I am the Son of God." The revolutionaries who were crucified with him also kept abusing him in the same way. From noon onward, darkness came over the whole land until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And about 3, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Some of the bystanders who heard it said, "This one is calling for Elijah." Immediately one of them ran to get a sponge. He soaked it in wine and, putting it on a reed, gave it to him to drink. But the rest said, "Wait, let us see if Elijah comes to save him." But Jesus cried out again in a loud voice and gave up his spirit. Here we all kneel and pause for a moment to reverence our Lord Jesus Christ. And behold, the veil of the sanctuary was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth quaked, rocks were split, tombs were open, and the bodies of many saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming forth from their tombs after his resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many. The centurion and the men with him who were keeping watch over Jesus, feared greatly when they saw the earthquake and all that was happening, and they said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Gospel of Matthew today, my friends, we see that Jesus carried his cross for you and I, to wash our sins away, to give us access to eternal life in heaven with our Father in heaven. Again, what crosses are you carrying today? What is it that is your heaviest cross? And we all have crosses, my friends, but we look to our Lord Jesus Christ for the strength to persevere in tough times. Recently, a friend of mine called me and told me he needed prayer for his wife, who was dealing and battling with breast cancer. She had a mastectomy. And there are many women who struggle with cancer. I've lost several friends of mine at 40 years old, 50 years old, 57, from breast cancer. And so, what is your cross today? Is it cancer? Is it a difficult spouse that you're living with, an abusive alcoholic? Is it a son or daughter who is addicted to drugs or alcohol? What is your cross? Do you have a child who's incarcerated and you're visiting him for months or even years? Everybody has a cross to carry, because we follow in the footsteps of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he gives us the power, the courage to carry our crosses. And he fell three times, and he still got back up to finish the job. The Lord is a finisher. The job that he started out to do, the will of his Father in heaven, so that we can have access to eternal life, to eternity with our Father in heaven. A winner never quits, and a quitter never wins, my friends. And Jesus is a winner because he never quits. And the Word of God tells us that from noon onward, darkness came over the whole land until about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And Jesus, who is identified as the light of the world, truly, physically dies at the top of the cross and gives up his spirit, and darkness came over the whole land. Do you and I, my friends, bring light to other people by bringing the Lord Jesus Christ to other people? Do we bring the Word of God with a focus on our Lord Jesus Christ to other people? Or do we bring negativity and darkness? Are we positive or negative? Think about it. In your next conversation, are you lifting people up, or are you and I bringing them down? As we look forward to the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, Easter Sunday, Resurrection Day, I pray that you and I will lift people up in spirit, that we will give them hope and great vision for the future. We will help to heal the wounds from the past and heal the broken hearts that are suffering out there today. We ask this today through the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary, and through Christ our Lord. Amen. And lastly, my friends, the Lord says, my God, why have you forsaken me? But we know that the Father's eternal plan for salvation had to be done, and the Lord did it. He's a finisher, and you and I, my friends, will follow in his footsteps, and we will carry our crosses with perseverance, with hope, because the Lord is carrying it with us. That's our show for today. My name is Deacon Joe Montone. May God bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We'll see you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio and clear for takeoff. Have a great day. God bless, and happy Palm Sunday. God bless.
You have been listening to Cleared for Takeoff with your host, Deacon Joe Montone, a weekly preparatory program for your faith journey.